Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1055. Come, ye souls by sin afflicted, bowed with fruitless sorrow down, by the broken law convicted, through the cross, behold the crown. Look to Jesus, mercy flows through him alone. 1055.
Thank you. Rosary together from the Word of God, from the first epistle of Peter, reading together from chapter 1. The first epistle of Peter, and reading together from chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth for ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth unto us, and teach us how to pray and what to pray for. O Lord our God, what merciful, what kind, and what gracious. We do thank thee, Lord, for the opportunity that has been afforded unto us to gather together in thy name in this midweek evening service. And, O Lord, we do pray that our time spent together, oh, that it shall be a true, well and worthy sacrifice, that time set apart, but that time desired in our souls, where we might come together and around thy word, and to hear the precious truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, revealed and opened up unto us by and through his Spirit. O Lord, we come seeking much needed help before thee at this time, both thy servant, Lord, that shall speak in thy name, and Lord, also those that shall hear from the pews of thy house. O Lord, we do need those three gracious words spoken by the Syrophoenician woman. Lord, help me. Oh, come to the help, dear Lord, of each one of us. Oh, help us to come before thee, Lord, with that humble, that contrite spirit, oh, that contrite nature, Lord, which shall be made willing and humble and low, ready to hear and ready to receive thy word mixed with faith. And oh, that we might each be found not only hearers of thy word, but also doers of the same. And so, Lord, come to each one of us, Lord. Thou knowest how that we have come to the means of grace. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that it may be under the constraining of thy love. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we have each come with a deep felt need of thyself to appear unto each one of us, to reveal thyself to us in a very real and personal way, and that, Lord, thou wouldest bless us. Oh, bless us, Lord, with the words of this life, the precious truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that he came to do, his merits and his person. And, O Lord, we do pray, open up to us, O, the truths, dear Lord, that come forth through his cross. And, Lord, we do pray into our poor souls, revealing unto us again Lord, our great salvation, in his finished work, what he came to do for sinners, and, O Lord, apply the blessings to our souls. O Lord, may we feel that need of thee as poor, guilty, ruined sinners. O, but, Lord, to flee to thy cross, the fountain of thy precious blood, to seek that healing balm, O, that balm of thy blood that is able to cleanse, able to heal a poor, needy sinner from all his sins and iniquities. O Lord, do come to each one of us, Lord. May we feel its cleansing fountain, healing and restoring, and bringing peace and blessing to our souls. Lord, undertake for us in this way. We do, Lord, look to thee, that thou wilt, Lord, reveal and manifest thyself in all the blessedness of thy finished work at Calvary's tree, and do help us to know again and again, in our little experiences here below, whence cometh our great salvation, or even through that precious, unspeakable gift of thy dearly beloved Son into this world, that he should come to seek and to save that which was lost, yea, those dead in trespasses and in sins, and through the cross reconcile them unto God the Father. Lord, thou knowest how that we do pray and seek thee, Lord, for those continued confirmations in our poor souls, that that blessed and finished work of Christ was wrought in and for us and in our souls to redeem us and to save us from all our sins. Oh, apply the blessing again and again, that we might indeed be those that shall again go forth and in our way and path rejoicing in thy salvation. Do, Lord, come to each of our needs then, Lord, at this time. Thou knowest and seest each heart before thee, Lord. O, may it be, Lord, that we have come, and with a desire to be found at thy feet. And we do pray, Lord, through thy Spirit, take of thy word and reveal it unto us. So come, Lord, unto our needs. We thank thee, Lord, for all mercies and blessings and goodness known and experienced this day. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast provided for us. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast put a wall of fire round about us, Lord, to keep us and to preserve us in the enclosure of thy love and grace. O Lord, we cannot keep ourselves, Lord. Thou knowest, and O, we continually come to thee, Lord, and Lord, testify that we need thy help, Lord, and that truth again, Lord, so often that we are brought into the experience of, that thou didst speak unto thy disciples and unto us, that without me ye can do nothing. O, do come, Lord, show thyself the power of thy Spirit to keep us and to preserve us, to work in us, to will and to do of thy good pleasure, and help us, Lord, day by day to seek thee, Lord, and to know more of that likeness of thee, that we might know more, Lord, of thy nature, or that humbleness, that meekness, that lowliness of heart and of mind, and that, Lord, also that we might seek, Lord, that word that we've read together. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And, O Lord, we have to come to the throne of grace. We have to beg, Lord, that we might know more holiness and more godliness in our hearts and in our lives. That thou wouldest help us, Lord, that we might be enabled to please thee and serve thee, that we might be enabled to give thee the preeminence in all things concerning us, and in particular, Lord, in the worship of thy great and thy holy name. So come, Lord, and help us to continue in our pilgrimage journeying here below. And Lord, reveal thyself to us and grant to us those continued times and seasons of witness and testimony in our souls that we're born of God. Lord, undertake for us then. Lord, we have to plead for these mercies. We have to plead them from thyself, Lord, for we're so poor and we're so needy in and of ourselves, not able to keep ourselves, neither outwardly nor inwardly and spiritually, Lord. Be unto us our all and in all. And we do pray, Lord, that at this time, our time spent together under thy word may be a profitable time and a good time. But Lord, witness with thy spirit. Send none empty away this evening hour from the means of grace, unmoved, unconcerned, under thy word. But O Lord, appear, we pray thee, to each case and need, as thy word may be applied. And Lord, we pray, be with us in all our path. We thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast given to us, blessed us with here below, our homes, the comfort, supplying all our needs. Then also, Lord, our vocation, our businesses, our workplaces. That thou hast done all things well concerning us. But Lord, make us more thankful, Lord, for all these benefits and for all these mercies that we enjoy at thy hand. And so, Lord, that we might praise and bless thee in every part and in every aspect of our lives here below, both in all providential things, but also, and certainly and importantly, those things spiritual and inward. So, Lord, we do come before thee, Lord, and we're indebted to thee, Lord. Thou hast done such great things for us, and we give such miserable returns unto thee. We claim that thou hast done all things well, and yet how poor we are, Lord, to be enabled to give unto thee the praise and the glory which is thy due. Be with us each then, Lord. Keep us close unto thyself. Rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives. And help us, Lord, that we may be enabled to speak of the things that Jesus has done for us. Lord, what a mercy it is to speak well of thy name, the wonders of thy grace to sinners. And that word, Lord, that they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. May we not be ashamed, Lord, to speak of the things that thou hast done for us, the deliverances, the mercies, the visits. And, Lord, that thou art the keeper of our never-dying and immortal souls, we do thank thee, Lord, that we have some hope, dear Lord, that truly that we are journeying on and to a promised eternal rest. Lord, we do pray then be with each of thy people that gather here, and Lord, in all their path, and Lord, go before them in the way. But we pray, Lord, also that those unable to attend and be with us at this time, O Lord, do draw near to them and visit them where they are, Lord, and grant them still some token of thine especial love, and pray, Lord, that thou wilt indeed come near to them and show to them that thou art their great salvation. We pray, Lord, for the many that gather in the means of grace, and Lord, there are those with whom we meet with week by week, now coming to the end of their days, in great age, in their 80s and 90s, and yet, Lord, still coming to the means of grace, still seeking, Lord, thy mercy. Oh, we pray for them, Lord. Oh, that thou wilt come, Lord. Oh, deliver them. Oh, lift up their poor hearts unto thee. Oh, that they might know thee in thy salvation. Oh, that they might know thee in their room and place at Calvary. Oh, that they might know thee as that one who hath cleansed them and healed them from all sin and defilement. Oh, Lord, come. Lord, we are each on the verge of eternity, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear, that thou wilt bless, Lord, and that thou wilt, Lord, come in thine all irresistible grace and show to them that thou hast died for them. We commit them prayerfully into thine ever merciful hands. O Lord, we pray. So, Lord, be with us now, Lord, and each of thy sent servants. Prayerfully commit them unto thee. O, may the blessings of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ go forth from their lips, dear Lord. Teach them what to say, what to preach, Lord. Particularly pray for thy servant at Arkle Street, at our chapel, Lord, this evening. Oh, do draw near to him. We pray thee, Lord, be mouth, matter, and wisdom for him, but use him as instrument of usefulness in thy hand to proclaim a precious Christ to the souls of sinners, both in his salvation and also in confirming them in their faith. But the gathering in, Lord, oh, the gathering in, Lord, sinners that are seeking thee, Lord, sinners who want to know the Lord Jesus, thy redeeming love at Calvary, and are begging and suing for thy mercy. O Lord, do appear for them. Use thy servant, that he may be made useful, Lord, in the ingathering of the election of grace through the gospel. Be with thy servant now, Lord. We do pray that thou wilt help him to speak in thy name, thy word of truth, and that word set before us, Lord. We do pray that through thy spirit thou wilt open up that word to the heart of thy servant. Oh, let it come through this earthen vessel, that the power and excellency may be of God, not of man. And Lord, we pray, prosper thy word whereto thou wilt send it. Lord, bless each soul before thee at this time. Oh, we prayerfully commit these things to thy gracious mercy, that thou wilt appear for each one of us. And so may both sower and reaper rejoice together. We ask these things with the pardon and the forgiveness of our every sin, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hymn 514. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, claiming our supreme attention to his boundless works and ways. His own glory he reveals in gospel days. 514.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, and we will read from verse 20 and 21. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, reading from verse 20 and 21. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Peter was instructed by the dear Lord Jesus, having been converted, or that having changed from that solemn time and season when he denied the dear Lord Jesus, that Satan hath desired to put him in his sieve. And it was a good work, wasn't it? It changed him. It brought him nearer to Jesus, and it brought him out of himself. You see, there was much of Peter in Peter, wasn't there? Much of the flesh. Much of himself. But the Lord brought him out of it. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And this surely must be an epistle that would strengthen the brethren. They were afflicted, scattered strangers, as it were. Came into affliction and trouble and trial. Passed through hard times, difficult times. But they were those times that were good times, profitable times, all things working together for good. It would be to the trying of their faith that they were rooted up and scattered about. The Lord was in it all. We must always take knowledge that the Lord is in everything, and particularly concerning his dear people. But then, that they were scattered about, it would be to the trying of their faith, but it would come forth as gold. If the Lord is in everything that concerns us, what a mercy it is to pray and to seek and to ask to be resigned to his holy and his sovereign will. To know that the Lord will take of all these things that come in and upon us and work them for our good and for our profit. You know, it will bring us nearer to Christ. It will bring us to see that it is he that is managing us in the wholeness of our lives, every part of our lives. Christ is in everything. There isn't a time, there isn't a season, there isn't an experience, but what the Lord is in it, you see. Now, Peter revealed many gracious truths to these scattered strangers, and one of the truths is this, that they belong to Christ. And isn't it a mercy to be enabled to suffer all things for his name's sake? It is. He suffered a lot for us, didn't he? Oh, didn't he suffer? What he passed through, what he undertook, for ruin, rebellious man. But he did everything in love, didn't he? Love was interwoven in all his sufferings and all that he passed through for his people. Love, but a love for his dear people. You see, a love for his dear people. And he went forth to the work, dear friends, because his love was in thy salvation, the redemption of thy soul. And so we have many gracious and precious truths in this epistle of Peter, many exhortations and many blessings and many promises that are held out to us here to help us to continue and to persevere and to press on through all troubles and trials and afflictions that come into our path. But just coming to the words of our text. But who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. We may just think of this. Whilst Peter is opening up a precious truth here, that all things were foreordained in respect of the church, all things were foreordained, all things were settled before the earth began. All things were sealed up in covenant before the world began. Everything concerning the church, as if it was sealed up, all ordained and finished there. And it will be finished. It will be perfected in time. Jesus, he was that one indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world. It was in covenant that he undertook the will of his heavenly Father, that he undertook to undertake for his church and people, that he would undertake to come, and that he would indeed lay down his life for rebellious man. Remember that before time had begun, man had not fallen. No. But he undertook, for God knoweth, and he kneweth that man would fall, and awfully so. But you see, this truth, that he made a covenant in respect of them with his dearly beloved Son, that he was ordained to be that one who should come and who should fulfill his heavenly Father's will in respect of all those whom his heavenly Father loved from before the foundation of the world. When we, thinking of this word, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, there's another truth that must be attached to this because of the engagement to fulfill the covenant of grace, a way to bring back fallen, ruined man. And you see, it must include the church that were also foreordained. And that is predestinated. We have one or two truths in respect of this, that the church, they were those predestinated. To be saved by grace, they were predestinated, those sealed up, enclosed in the covenant of his grace, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. All this was determined and set forth in the covenant of grace. And then that the church were predestinated to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, predestinated by Jesus Christ, that is, that they should all become the adopted sons and daughters of God. Before time, predestinated. Blessed truth. Every arrangement fixed in the covenant of grace. And I'll speak in a moment of some of those engagements that Jesus did take upon himself to bring the people of God unto him, reconciling them unto him. But oh, this blessed word, I believe I spoke it here at some time, taking a text from Acts chapter 2, I believe it was here. But in the closing word of Acts chapter 2, we have this truth: praising God and having favour with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Wasn't it fixed in heaven, dear friends, before time began? All those who should be saved by and through the gospel? Yes. The truth. And so, Jesus being ordained, I do believe that it is proper and right to include the church, because it was the work that he was given to do. And we read in Acts chapter 13 where Paul had preached the precious truths of the gospel. Oh, but there were those that despised it and rejected it, turned their back upon this precious word of truth. Oh, dear friends, take knowledge of this. What did Paul say of them? Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, that is to the Jews, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Oh, dear friends, oh, let us understand this truth. We do bear with us a never dying and an immortal soul which must live on forever. See what they despised. See what they were brought to reject, dear friends. The word was preached. The word spake of Jesus, who came to seek and to save sinners by and through his precious blood. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. But Paul, ye have judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. And then this truth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. the preaching of the gospel, that salvation came for sinners, lost sinners, ruined sinners. Oh, the Jews could never see their sins, many of them. Oh, the solemn truth of that. But then this truth. And glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, and then being foreordained, you know, we have the blessed and glorious truth, the covenant engagements between Father and Son, whereby the whole church should find redemption through his blood. That was the engagement. We'll just open up that truth in a moment. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Well, we have a truth in respect of this. And often, and I just want to show where it was spoken, and including Christ and the church. And then we just open up the further words of the Lord Jesus. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What a mercy, dear friends. Everything that was fixed eternally in the, I'll call it a plan. It is often called a plan. In the covenant of grace, that designed by Father, Son, and Spirit, whereby the church should be saved through the blood of Jesus. We have this truth, that it was all fixed and sealed, and every part of it in the covenant of grace before time began, which was given us in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, that is us in Christ Jesus, you see, together again before the world began, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. That is his incarnation into this world. But it says, for you. Is there an inquiry, dear friends? Is there a need in our poor souls? Does this word utter a prayer from our lips for you? Have we come into the means of grace this evening hour because we're looking for such a word as this? We're seeking such a word as this, that Jesus was manifested for you and for me. That is, that he came into this sin-cursed world, that he laid aside his glory beneath the form of human flesh, that he appeared in his incarnation into this world. And for you, we may just be reminded of another word in prophecy. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Oh, dear friends, do we want to be found inside of such a wonderful word as that? Have we come to chapel this evening, dear friends? Is it according to custom? Is it because it is the Tuesday night evening service? Is it because to please our parents? Is it to come just to satisfy ourselves that we've been to chapel and we've done what we think is proper to do? Dear friends, is there something more than that? Is there something more than that? Unto us a child is born. That was confirmed by the angel unto all those that waited for the Lord when the Lord Jesus did come in his incarnation into this world. There is a precious word in respect of this. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you. Oh, dear friends, is it our poor souls? Have we come, dear friends, with a pining sickness? Is it the sickness and the disease of sin? A Saviour, you see, to save us from our sins. Or is it that sickness, that disease, that the Spirit of the Lord has shown to us, revealed to us, that we are sinners, and it has laid us low? It has brought us like unto those publicans and sinners. What did Jesus say in respect of them? They were the sick. Oh, they needed the physician. You see, manifested unto us. Oh, manifested for you. And oh, we might say, well, he's speaking of the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That is who he's speaking to here. And you might think, well, that doesn't include me. I'm not one of these elect. But dear friends, are we found on our knees that we want this blessing and this portion for our souls? You know, I continued, dear friends, and I went week by week to the Lord's house, unconcerned, untroubled, in respect of my never dying, an immortal soul, careless, indifferent. But oh, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, appeared, showed to me that I was a sinner. And friends, everything in a moment of time, such a dramatic change. I was never the person that I was before. I became a beggar. I became poor. I became lame. You see, broken up. Nothing. Sin. Sin upon the conscience. Guilt. Saw my ruin. Oh, dear friends. And I saw that I bore with me a never dying and an immortal soul. Never realized the truth and the consequences in respect of my never dying immortal soul. And dear friends, oh, the truth of this, it will lay us low. It will bring us into need. This truth, but was manifested in these last times for you. What a mercy it is that he be manifested for you, for me. It means so many precious things, things that I've just spoken of. Jesus said to his disciples, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Yes, ordained, written in heaven, before time began. But was manifested in these last times for you. Oh, the promise was fulfilled concerning him. And he appeared, oh, a faithful God. And think of the faith of the Old Testament saints who looked for him and for their salvation. But was manifest in these last times for you. Oh, do we seek, dear friends? Are we often found at the throne of grace? Are we crying to the Lord for this mercy? This mercy that is found in the dear Lord Jesus. And if I just use the next words in the next verse, who by him do believe in God, by him. Oh, it speaks of the work that Jesus came to do, by him. And oh, mentioned in the prayer of the Lord's dear servant, the deacon in the vestry, the Lamb of God. Verse 19. And that is our redemption. Who by him do believe in God, by Jesus. By the work that he came to do, manifested in the work that he came to do. But let us just come to this Lamb of God. I was speaking at Leicester last evening and spoke from those precious words in the Song of Solomon. Draw me, we will run after thee. The King hath brought me into his chambers. You see, it doesn't say chamber, it says chambers. And I mentioned one or two of these chambers. You know, this chamber, and where the church was brought into by the King, is King Jesus, you know, King Jesus. There's no other King, friends. King Jesus, he hath brought me into his chambers. Bethel was a chamber to poor Jacob. You see, a chamber is an inner chamber, and it means a sort of inner sanctuary, an inner place, and it means a sacred place, a holy place. That's what it means. And think of it, the King hath brought me into his chambers. And you see, Bethel was a chamber to... It would never have forgotten Bethel. It was a sacred place to Jacob. And then the burning bush with Moses. Oh, that was a sacred place. I don't believe Moses ever forgot the burning bush and where Christ revealed himself to him. He commissioned him to the work and the business of the children of Israel and their deliverance. But there's one chamber, I mentioned several chambers, but there's one chamber, dear friends, which, oh, what a chamber that is. It's the upper room, dear friends. The upper room. Oh, what a sacred place that was. And the blessing that came to the disciples there. And this truth in respect of the upper room. Jesus sent two of his disciples into the city to prepare for the Passover. He said that they would see a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And they followed him, and it was brought to a great upper room. And then they gathered together in this upper room, and it was the time of the feast of the Passover. Can we see the wonderful truth between this Passover and then the ordinance of the Lord's Supper that was instituted in this upper room? The connection, you see, between the Passover lamb and then the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. There was a wonderful connection there, dear friends. I thought of the Lamb of God, the Passover, you see, the Paschal Lamb. Here is Jesus in the midst of them. The disciples, a type of the church, you see. Yes, a type of the church today. The disciples, they were gathered in that upper room. And we see in that upper room the blessedness of the love of God. We see Father, Son and Spirit in that upper room, dear friends, a sacred place. And then we're reminded of the lamb that Moses bid the children of Israel to take, a lamb from the fold, as it were, 12 months old. But you see, it had to be a lamb without spot and blemish, without spot and blemish. And that lamb, it was to be taken, it had to be slain, and then carefully the blood had to be caught, as it were, in a basin, because it had to be sprinkled upon the sidepost and the lintel, you see, this blood. And it was typical, of course, of the dear Lord Jesus, his perfect humanity, you see, a lamb without spot and without blemish. And then that blood that was shed, and then the destroying angel. Think of the wrath of God. Think of the justice of God. And then this truth, that when that destroying angel should go over, destroy all the firstborn of the land. Think of it, dear friends. Oh, there must have been tragedy. An awful scene. The firstborn, the great-grandparent, the grandparent, the parent, the father, the mother, the children, the firstborn of every. To the children of Israel, you see, this blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Oh, dear friends, think of that. It will pass over all thy sin, all the evil of thy heart, all the just justice of God that was deserving to thee. I will pass over. Oh, that blood of Jesus that he shed, so precious, infinitely precious, that blood, that it blotted out all the sins and the iniquities of the church in one sacrifice and for sin. I believe the deacon at the chapel, he came to me just as I was walking out, and it seemed to rest upon his spirit what that precious blood truly, really meant to him. I know that he's been a redeemed soul for many years now. But dear friends, it's the deliverance. It's the separation from the sinner, from all his sins. All his sins, all his crimes, the evil of his heart. All which are known to God. And he said, the I will pass over you. Oh, is this here the word? I will pass over you, but was manifested in these last times for you. Ah, dear friends, can we connect the two together? Pass over you. Is this what we pray for? Is this, friends, our prayer and petition, our supplication? Dear friends, that we might be found in the blessing of this truth, that he was manifested for you, for me. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, this blessed truth. And it was for his people, wasn't it? The sacrificial lamb. Jesus did come. And he did come in the room and place of the sinner. And he laid down his life so lovingly and willingly. And as I may have mentioned it before to you, but the whole agreement of the covenant of God's grace between Father and Son was all fulfilled, spoken of in the 53rd chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. That was the covenant. That was the covenant. It's here, dear friends. Just bringing the words into mind. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. You know, we have just sung together that 514th hymn. I have one or two favourite hymns, dear friends, and that is one of them. Oh, this is God's greatest work, dear friends. The words of our text, who by him do believe in God. It is believing in God in the gospel of the grace of God, because the gospel is God's provision for us. And Jesus is the author of the gospel. He came, dear friends, to fulfill all his heavenly Father's will. And when he cried, "It is finished," upon Calvary's tree, there we have not only the redemption of the church. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," they were all saved. Because it is here spoken of, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He came and fulfilled every obligation in respecting of thy soul and mine at Calvary. And when he cried, "It is finished," the church was safe. Every one whom he came to redeem, to save. Oh, God's highest work, redemption. Oh, the glory of it, dear friends. See the glory of God's work in the soul of a poor sinner, a poor beggar, one pardoned and forgiven. There is the glory of God in that sinner, a sinner saved by grace. Wonderful truth. And then when he cried, "It is finished," the gospel, oh, it was complete. And then this gospel that is preached today and before your very ears, here is salvation. Here is redemption for poor, needy sinners. Oh, dear friends, not what we've done, not what we've deserved or merited, but what Jesus came to do. I believe it. Oh, may this blessing be found in that first hymn. that we sang together, 1055, and some truths, and may they belong to every one of us. Come ye souls, by sin afflicted, bowed with fruitless sorrow down, by the broken law convicted, through the cross, behold the crown. Look to Jesus, mercy flows through him alone. Here is God's mercy in the person of his dearly beloved Son. He at Calvary's tree, who suffered in the room instead of the sinner to become their surety for heaven. Oh, wonderful truth, dear friends, who by him do believe in God. Dear friends, the gospel was preached to these scattered strangers. Yes, they came into trouble for being a follower of the dear Lord Jesus. They were scattered. But dear friends, if we take up with Jesus, it won't be a smooth path and a comfortable path. Jesus never walked a comfortable and a smooth path. Neither will his followers. But this truth, who by him do believe in God. Jesus sent forth his disciples to preach the everlasting gospel, to preach repentance for the remission of sins. That precious gospel is preached today, and repentance is a precious gift of our God, and what a mercy it is to be blessed with that repentance, feeling the solemn truth of our sins and iniquities, but then drawn to what God has provided in the person of his dearly beloved Son, this mercy through his cross, all looking to Jesus, fleeing to Jesus, fleeing to the fountain of his precious blood, pleading that precious blood alone. Oh, when I pass over you, oh, when I pass over, you see, to pass over, it will pass over you when I see the blood. That is the mercy. That blood that doth for sin atone, and atone for all our sins. And what a mercy it is to be one who do believe in God. That is receiving Christ by faith to be our Redeemer and Saviour. The application of his precious blood to our consciences, healing us, restoring us, removing all guilt, giving liberty to our souls, reconciliation unto God the Father. Oh, dear friends, Jesus is the way to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. None cometh unto the Father but by me. And then we have another truth, and I would like to reveal it. You see, Jesus is speaking to us this evening through the gospel. And just going to another word in Psalm 22 and verse 22. We have a truth in the gospel, and this gospel is preached today, preached by Jesus. It is preached today by Jesus. They're the words of the Holy Spirit, not of the man and the creature. Oh, Lord, forbid that, dear friends, that should ever look to a man or a creature for salvation. But this truth in Psalm 22 and verse 22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the gospel. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Where is the name of our God? It is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that is known and revealed of God is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His everlasting love and his mercy to sinners is known and revealed. All his attributes and all the precious promises of a God in covenant, all revealed to us in the gospel. But oh, this precious truth, I come to this word in the prayer of the dear Lord Jesus in John chapter 17. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Dear friends, you see, we take this word manifestation, manifest in these last times, but this is another use and a different term of this word manifest. I have manifested thy name. Dear friends, as Jesus manifested the name of his heavenly Father in our poor souls, as he manifested the name of his heavenly Father to be a God of love, that love of our God shown at Calvary's tree in the person of his dearly beloved Son, manifested thy name, to wit, that God was in Christ, manifest, reconciling the world unto himself. You see, oh, this truth, oh, may we pray, dear friends, to be a part of it. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And friends, it will be so to the end of time, through the gospel. Every name written in heaven. Oh, beg and pray, dear friends, that each of our names were written in this Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, the wonder of God's grace to sinners in the person of his dearly beloved Son. Oh, to be a sinner saved by grace, free love, free grace, free mercy for sinners. Well, dear friends, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead. Jesus revealed many times to his disciples regarding his sufferings and his death and his resurrection. They all together, sufferings, death and resurrection, that is the blessing of our salvation. We cannot, friends, include his sufferings and death without his resurrection, and for one or two blessings that are found in that. And we see here that raised him up from the dead. We must not forget Jesus. We must not forget two blessed and glorious natures in one precious Christ. You see, Jesus said that he hath power to lay down his life, and he hath power to take it again. Do not let us try in our poor minds, dear friends, to try and determine the humanity and the divinity of Christ. We can't do that, dear friends. But we know this truth, that he was a real man that died upon Calvary's tree for the sins of his people. A real man. Oh, he came, one of the brethren. And so this, dear friends, that raised him up from the dead. Now, it was a testimony of the blessedness of Christ's sufferings and death. It was a testimony, dear friends, of the surety of the salvation of the church. He saw of the travail of his soul and was satisfied. You see, it was the sufficiency of his death, dear friends, for the church, the sufficiency of it. And that was the proof, as it were, the witness in his resurrection from the dead, that his work was finished, that his work was full and complete and perfect. The church were redeemed by his precious blood. And he saw his seed after him. He saw the church. Saw of the travail of his soul, saw his seed after him. He saw the church. And that was he rose from the dead. That was the surety and the sufficiency of his sacrifice, that he rose from the dead. Now, dear friends, he was dead, and the church in like manner, they were dead in trespasses and in sins, but now they're dead to their sins. Oh, the opposite, dear friends. They're dead to their sins, and because Christ is risen from the dead, they're dead to the world, dead to their sins, and they're now changed and renewed and alive to Christ, a new life of grace in the soul. You see, it's like a resurrection in the soul of a poor sinner, and then risen. And isn't it for this truth that Jesus, by and through his perfect obedience and sacrifice, wove a perfect robe of righteousness for his dear people, a robe which faith puts on, a robe that can never be removed or taken off, dear friends? Christ wove that perfect robe of white righteousness. The king's daughter is all glorious within. It can never be changed. It is the work of grace, a newborn soul. This truth, dear friends, in respect of this, they stand forever justified through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church, forever justified, no condemnation, no. And then, dear friends, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know, but if we come to the grave, dear friends, it is a testimony that we shall rise again, because Christ in his finished work, oh, did he not indeed conquer and overcome all the enemies of the church, world, flesh, devil, sin, death, hell, and the grave? And friends, you see, coming to the grave, what is it, dear friends? You see, the sting of death has been removed. We shall rise again. We will all rise again, all, some to the resurrection of life, and eternal life, that is, some to the resurrection of destruction. May the Lord help us to come to him, to seek for that salvation that flows through his precious blood, that we might be those, unworthy as we are, blessed with the token of his sufferings and death in our poor souls, because that is our token for heaven, dear friends. And if we just take the last words of our text, because our time has gone, and gave him glory, and just very briefly mention this glory, dear friends. Yes, glory. He has finished the work. Jesus, it's here. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now seated at the right hand of the Father, all power and authority has been given to Jesus. He is now raised up, a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. All governance, all power, all rule is given unto him. This is the glory. Oh, but dear friends, oh, that he would come and rule in our poor souls. Come and manage for us, you see. And then this truth, that your faith and hope might be in God. Yes, they were afflicted and they were troubled in their path, but your faith and hope might be in God. Faith and hope seem to go together, do they not? Paul writing to the church at Corinth, first epistle, I believe it is, chapter 13, faith, hope, and charity. We know that the greatest of these is charity, but they're three graces, dear friends, which the Lord will bless to his people, most needful to them. Faith, overcoming faith. Faith that will overcome the world. Faith that will overcome all sin. Faith that will overcome all evil. Faith that will overcome all the pleasures of this life. Faith that will overcome all our enemies. And then faith, dear friends, as we were enabled to read together in this blessed and glorious faith, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Oh, this gift of faith and this hope, dear friends. It is the hope that is in the gospel. He, writing to the church at Corinth, he says, and be ye not removed from the hope that is in the gospel. And then following that in the first chapter, he says, in respect of the hope that is in the Lord's dear people, that hope which is in Christ Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, this is the truth. Jesus prayed unto his heavenly Father, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Well, may the Lord lead us into the blessings and the truth that is found in the gospel of Jesus, and where we have the love of God revealed to sinners. Oh, may the Lord help us. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and there will be a prayer meeting next Monday evening, and Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us now close with hymn 1053. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, comfort every sinking heart. 1053.
Thank you.
by thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion, God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.